And we honor your word, Lord. And surprise, surprise, we're still in praise series and the power of praise. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this today. And I'm going to kick this off by saying this. I have dealt, seem like sometimes there's themes. The Holy Spirit runs themes through the year for me, and sometimes through the month or through a season, and sometimes through the week. And you know, this particular week, I've answered and done more counseling, more ministry to a number of ministers that were absolutely miserable. Now look, there's no condemnation if you find yourself on your journey miserable. Because we all get there. I share with them, I've been there. There's been times in my life where I was a miserable human being. But you know what? We don't have to stay there. It's not a lifetime sentence. You don't have to stay there. I'm here to share with you that Jesus has come to relieve you from the sadness or from the misery or from the pit or from the prison that you might find yourself in. Jesus has come to set you free. And I'm going to share a few scriptures with you, and these are scriptures that I shared this week. And John 14 is part of it. Where's my... Did you get John 14 on there? No? It's on there. Who's running the screen for me? You are. There it is. Okay. Praise the living Lord. All right. This is out of the Amplified, so it reads kind of wordy. But I'm telling you, I love the Amplified because it brings out the meaning in original language. It's not just translated one word for one word. And sometimes you can miss on that. I want you to see as much of it. But this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus is speaking this to you. He was speaking this to his disciples in a season that was going to be the hardest season of their life. And so you may find yourself in misery today. These words are for you from Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace, not world peace, his peace I now give and bequeath to you." Let me tell you, this is your birthright. If you've accepted Jesus, this is in your will. This is in your covenant. Okay? It is your birthright because of what Jesus paid for you to have his peace. He's left it for you. There's more peace with your name on it than you could enjoy in a lifetime. You get that? "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled." We know sometimes they get there. But when they do get there, he's made a way. He is the way of escape. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." If you allow your heart to be troubled enough, you're going to be consumed with fear. Fear shows up. Trouble blazes the path. And if you embrace and invite trouble or allow trouble to stay in your heart and mind, fear is on the way in. Fear's backup comes right on in. So do not let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated or cowardly and unsettled. So listen, when that stuff starts to show up, that's where you go practice receiving peace. Because Jesus is your peace. You don't wait till the storm gets full-fledged before you reach out and receive peace. Now, if the storm's already there and you're miserable, hey, Jesus is the way out. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the way of escape. He says, no matter what you're going through, it's not too much for you, and Jesus has promised to be the way of escape for you. It's our Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. All right. And in John 15, he's continuing this in John 15. There you go. "If you live in me and abide, vitally united to me." You know, we talk a lot about union and communion with the Lord. You practice union and communion. It's not something you do on Sunday when the elements are present. It's a picture of what you get to do all week long. You practice enjoying Christ, okay? The benefit of what he did in his body for you, the benefit of shedding his blood for you, we're to practice this. We're to live in me. Jesus said, "Live in me. Abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you." That's why we tell people, be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. I can't tell you how many people that I try to minister to and I try to talk to them about the Word, and they say, well, I've done that. But see, there's a big difference between having a little quiet time or a devotional or having a scripture a week than it is to saturate yourself in the Word. But I want to tell you, the type of faith that you need to overcome the misery or whatever is affected, the pit or the prison or the misery that's affecting your life, that type of faith, for that type of escape in the Lord, you need to saturate yourself in His words. Faith for what you're going through comes from His words. Hearing His words. And so you need to hear that, okay? And look what He says. When you are at that place, I'm telling you, He will draw you. He is the way of escape. You'll ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. No one wants to stay in prison. Well, I've met a couple people. But most people don't want to stay there. Most people don't want to be miserable. And Jesus wants to minister His escape to you. And so don't let yourself be afraid or troubled. If you do, there's a way of escape. Go to Jesus. And His desire is to minister His life to you. He said, I've given you my joy. I come to give you my joy. And my joy, that my joy may be full in you. Well, fullness of joy is terrific. We've shared with you how that we can touch the joy of the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. It's part of our weapons of warfare, part of the way we receive. And it blesses the Lord when we praise. Praise affects you. It affects your attitude. If you have a miserable attitude, you can praise and give thanks your way out of it. By focusing on the Lord and not on your misery. When your focus on the Lord is greater than your focus on your misery, you get relief. Wow. And so, praise affects you, keeps you positive, gives your faith wings. It also affects the devil. He cannot stand the presence of praise. Father does. The Bible says Father inhabits the praise of His people, but the enemy runs from the praise of God's people. Wow, that's good. All right, Psalm 100. Let's take a little look at this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Now, I've been trying to encourage people privately in our fellowship that when it comes praise time, they need to make a joyful noise. And it doesn't mean that you sing perfectly. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking. I don't think heaven's looking for perfect singers. Heaven's full of perfect singers. Heaven's not looking for perfect singers. Heaven's looking for people who will make a joyful noise to the Lord, a shout of victory to the Lord, a praise to the Lord, even when they find themselves in the pit or in prison, or they find themselves in a miserable situation, they're going to praise the Lord anyway. And so let all the lands of Boren praise the Lord. And Justin said, hey, let all the lands of Sher praise the Lord. Let all the lands of Shipley praise the Lord. Let all the lands of Patterson praise the Lord. Let all the lands praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is healthy. This is right. When you're feeling stressed, practice being blessed by praising the Lord. And it says to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I've encouraged. I don't think all our meetings are doing this. But I have encouraged all of our meetings to start out or somewhere in the meeting, have a time of singing before the Lord. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness. I know there's times that even at our best in our human form, that on some Sundays, somebody's going to show up sad. You know what? That's real journey. But the good news is that we've got room for each other to not be perfect. We have compassion for one another. And if one of our people, or even one of our pastors, shows up sad, you know what? Our part's to love on them and to bless them and encourage them, because next Sunday, you may show up sad. And we're to bless them and encourage them and love on them and minister your joy cup, that let your joy overflow out of your cup and touch someone else. That's what love does. And so we're to love one another, we're to bless one another, serve the Lord with gladness. There have been times in the past, because I've been doing this for decades, that I've had someone start serving the Lord with sadness as a way of life. And what I've asked them to do is to back off their responsibility and focus on enjoying the Lord till their joy returns. Because it's important, not just what you do, but how you do it, with the attitude that you can do it with. And it's important that when you're doing something for the Lord, that you do it with joy. You do it because of your love life with the Lord. You do it to bless and honor the Lord. Sometimes people are not grateful. We're not looking for applause from people. You know what? We're doing it because we love Jesus and He loves people and we love people. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of joy in the Lord. There's more joy than you can enjoy. And I'm telling you, when you serve the Lord, it ought to be with gladness. And somebody said, amen. Personal and public, do the singing before the Lord. I do a lot of private singing before the Lord and loving on the Lord. And I invent songs all the time and they don't rhyme. But I want to tell you, the Lord is blessed. Because I'm loving on Him with a new song. And I'm loving on Him out of my heart. And I'm singing to Him and loving on Him and blessing Him. This blesses the Lord. This is what He wants us to do. And I just want to share with you. Look at verse 3. It says to know, perceive, recognize, and understand with approval that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. And we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Your Christianity will become alive when you die to self and you surrender to Him. If you try to live the Christian life in a self-centered, self-motivated way, you know what? You're going to be miserable. Because these promises and the Christian life are not designed to work if you have a self-pointed view. That's got to die. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. When you die to self and you're crucified with Christ, your Christianity will become alive. It will be a whole lot more than going to church. It will be a relationship with the Lord that you enjoy every day. But this is part of the requirement. You cannot have that relationship walk with God if you're self-centered and self-viewed. It's got to be all in. All in with your heart. If you're all in with your heart, you're going to see progress. Even if you're not doing anything else different, you're going to see progress. The Lord will lead you with direction. But I'm telling you, the first place is not the doing. The first place is the being. Amen. Wow. Lord Jesus, make it so. A lot of times, people want to share with me that I've been doing the same thing and I'm not making any progress. Well, look, if your heart is not all in and you're just going through physical steps or physical motions, I want to tell you, you can miss. It'd be like you going and getting on a treadmill and expecting to go somewhere. Okay? You can work real hard and not make any progress. But I'm here to share with you that there's a better way, and it's God's way, and it's something that all of us can do. And it goes like this. Hey, enjoy being loved by the Lord. And love Him back. Because that's the starting point. And I want to tell you, it's an important point that we live the rest of our life. You can never get away from letting the Lord love on you and loving the Lord back. Because out of that love-life relationship, everything else will come into place. He will draw you into His Word. He'll reveal to you Himself through His Word. But I want to tell you, it starts out with the love life. And the Lord is courting you right now in your life. He's ministering His goodness to you in ever-increasing measure. And the goodness of God is to draw you to change your mind from self-viewed Christianity to Christ-view. Wow. That's exciting. Your life will be a heaven of a lot better when you make it about Him and for Him and not about you. Amen. Man, that need to be on a bumper sticker or something. Huh? Let me say it again. That's doing my heart good again. Your life will be a heaven of a lot better when you make it about Him and for Him and not about you. Amen. John 10:10 says this. I don't have this. You can just write down the address. John 10:10. He talks about, Jesus talks about that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you have some stealing and some killing, some death, some destruction in your life, don't blame Jesus. That's not from God. That's not God's will. And it's not from God. He's a good, good Father. I want to tell you, but Jesus says, we don't have to settle for that. We don't have to part with that. Hey, we don't have to be miserable for the rest of our life to be in the pit or the prison. I want to tell you what he says. He said, I have come that they, somebody raise your hand and say, I'm they, may have life, his life, and have it more abundantly to the overflow. Now, overflowing life of Jesus is not a life that's miserable. One of the things I'm trying to point out in this session today is that you may be in a miserable situation, but Jesus can be your peace and your joy and your love in the midst of a circumstance that doesn't change. He can change you. I'm telling you, you can be free in a pit. You can be free in prison. You can be free in love and joy and peace in a miserable situation. And I want to tell you that life of Jesus won't allow you to stay there forever, because it's the life of Jesus. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It's the life of Jesus that sets you free. It's the love of Jesus that sets you free. And so the Bible says, so enter his gates with thanksgiving. Wow, that sounds like it ought to go with our series. And thanksgiving, even though we have an exciting, my favorite services every year is Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We celebrate as a church. And it's a personal testimony time. We have testimony after testimony from the saints about what God's done and what God's doing. And it's one of my favorite services all year. But I want to tell you, this Thanksgiving is not just for Turkey Day. Amen. It's not about the turkey. It's about him. I'd rather have duck anyway. But here's the deal, is that, you know what? It's about him. Not once a year, isn't it? And it's not once a week. Don't dare say, well, I got to go to church because I need to give thanks. No, no, no. It's Lord's Day. No, no, no. Every day is Lord's Day. And every day is an opportunity. We're all ministers. There's a few pastors here, but we're all ministers to minister to the Lord. And we minister to him with thanksgiving and a thank offering. And we come into his courts with praise. You know why? Because that's what he likes, and that's what he wants, and that's what he's worthy of. Even if it's on a Monday. Be thankful. Hey, and say so to him. When's the last time you've had a Thanksgiving date with the Lord? Where you just had some time with you and the Lord? This is so sweet because I just got to do this yesterday. Where I had hours by myself with the Lord. And I was saying thank yous. And you know what? It started raining on the inside of the truck. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about needing some wipers for my personal eyes. I did. But it started raining with his presence on the inside of the truck. Hey, I want to tell you something. In the midst of his praise, of our praise and thanksgiving, he inhabits. He manifests himself. And I want to tell you, this is for you. You say, well, I'm in a miserable situation. His presence can rule and reign right there where you are. And we can practice receiving. Be thankful and say so to him. Don't be like the guy that married his wife and years later his wife complained, you know, you never tell me that you love me. He said, I told you one time. She said, yeah, but that's when we got married. He said, well, I haven't changed my mind. If I change my mind, I'll tell you. Well, there's a whole lot more in relationship than that. Okay? I want to tell you. I haven't interviewed James, but I guarantee you that when Miss Gina shows up at his house, she's going to hear, I love you a bunch. Over and over and over. You know why? Because that's what relationship is. And I want to tell you, it's that way with the Lord. The same way between, it's that way with the Lord. Be thankful and say so to him. And look, catch this, bless and affectionately praise His name. There's a big difference between me coming up to my wife and saying, I love you. And a big difference between me saying affectionately, I love you. I mean, I love you. You see, with the Lord, He's loving on you. You need to love on Him. And it needs to be an affectionate exchange. And if you're not there, you need to get there. Why? Because the Lord is good. Hey, even if you're in a miserable situation, even if you're in a pit or you're in prison, or even if you're in a situation that's so bad, hey, look, even there, the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to your generation and to the generation after you. That's something for you to give thanks for. You won't be here, but the Lord's goodness will be. Wow. Doesn't that bless you? We inhabit the praise of His people. Psalm 22:3. He inhabits our praise. And so Genesis 3:8 says this, that it's talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. And you know, I've covered this with you, but they would hear the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, at this point, hid themselves. This was different because this was after they sinned. You know, before their sin, have you ever thought what that was like? God would come manifest His presence in the garden, and they would run to Him. Okay? They would run to Him. The picture I was enjoying yesterday is that when I got out of the truck in Oklahoma, and little Pebbles, little granddaughter, saw me, she came running toward me, and she was expressing praise and thanksgiving and love. Now, I'd already been meditating on this. And so when I saw that, I said, Lord, that's it. That's how Adam and Eve used to greet you in the garden. They would run to you. Now, I want to tell you, after sin, they ran from Him. Does that speak to anybody? Well, let me announce something to you. Jesus has taken care of your sin. And so it's time for you to run to Him. And when you understand that He paid the price for all of your sin, and He's excited to see you, not to whip you, but to bless you. Okay, I guarantee you that when little Pebbles was running toward me, she wasn't thinking Papa T going to get on to me. Papa T going to whip me. No, no, no. She was ready for love life. And I want to tell you, that's the way it is with us. That's the way it's to be with the Lord. Can you imagine what their conversation was like before that day? When God would come walking in the garden and they would run to Him? Well, I want to tell you, I don't know what sound it was. But I want to tell you, it probably had something to do with the way that I hear Pebbles greet me. Papa T, Papa T, Papa T, I love you, Papa T. And it probably, the father was going something like this. Adam and Eve, I love you. Adam and Eve, come be with me. And you know what? That's what he's still whispering. I want you to hear the sound of the invitation of Father for you to come run into Him and enjoy Him. It starts like this. It is finished. Based on the works of Jesus at the cross, when He announced, the same time that He announced that it is finished, the veil was torn in the temple. And you know what that means? There's no separation now. No separation now. Yeah, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's no separation. He has forgiven our sin. And so now we can run boldly and joyfully and cheerfully to Him. Run to Him because now we're the righteousness of God in Christ. You say, Brother Tim, I don't see myself that way. I don't see myself all the time that way too, either, but God does. This is the way God sees you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. There's nothing limited. I want to tell you, when the veil's torn and He said it is finished and the veil was torn, it means that we can come boldly. Do you know what boldly means? It means you're free to speak. Freedom of speech. You're free to come and share your heart. You're free to greet him. At one time, it was the policy of kings that before you could ever enter their presence, you had to be invited first. And if you were invited into their presence and you came in with a frown, you'd be killed. If you came in sad, you'd be killed. And even when you came, you were not allowed to speak till he reached out the scepter toward. Do you understand that? Listen, when Jesus said it's finished, all the protocols are gone, and he says, Abba, Father, come. Come be with me. Come running to me. Come enjoy me. Come bless me. Let's enjoy our love life together. This is communion and union with the Lord. And this is why that we say, come boldly. Freedom to speak. Freely approach. Freely speak. Listen. Freely receive. Jesus paid the price for that. This is the relationship that we're to have. Because this is what Jesus paid for. And that's why that our praise and prayer needs to reflect this. Don't let your prayer life be shopping list only. And I'm not saying that there's not a place for a shopping list, but even when we do, according to Scripture, present our needs to the Lord and ask, it's with thanksgiving. Amen. Don't leave thanksgiving. In other words, we're thanking Him that it's done. We thank in Him that it's already provided even before we see it. And so it's in that love life, but the 95% of your prayer life needs to be praise and thanksgiving. It needs to be love life with the Lord. Try that. And let's hear from you next week. You'll be saying, Pastor James, give me the mic. First Timothy 6:1. Wow, I got to hurry up. Listen fast. First Timothy 6:1. Let all who are under the yoke as bondservants esteem their own personal masters worthy of honor and fullest respect. So, why should we do that? Now, I got to hurry up and say something because I know people are listening that are not here on podcast. I'm not for slavery. The Bible's not for slavery. Paul was not for slavery. But there's times in our journey in this world, this fallen world, where we find ourselves in a worst case scenario. Are you listening? Okay, so let's apply a worst case scenario to your life, because Paul is speaking at a time where slavery was prominent. And what do believers do that know Jesus if you're a slave? And he's instructing them. And what I'm sharing with you by the Holy Spirit is that whatever worst case scenario that you're in, Jesus is the way of escape, and there's a way of operation. There's a protocol. Even when you find yourself in the pit or in prison or in a miserable situation, and the church says, okay, you need to catch that, because if you catch that, you're going to misunderstand me. All right? So please, let's catch this together. So let all who are under the yoke, and yoke means bondage. All who are under the yoke as bondservants esteem their own personal masters worthy of honor and fullest respect. Those who are over you. We've got a situation in our church, and I won't name his name, but there's a man connected to our church that I really think his job is like slavery. They work him all kind of over hours that he don't get paid for. They actually deducted his pay and increased his work this past year. And I really personally think they're taking advantage of him. Look, that's not out of bounds that happens on this earth. But there's a way for us to respond. You're supposed to see those in authority over you, your masters. You're supposed to have an attitude toward them as you would toward the Lord. And so if you find yourself in a miserable, worst-case scenario, you need to see your situation in a way to honor the Lord, to honor those who are over you. Not blame them, not be bitter at them, not be mean or wrong attitude or mulligrub at them like everybody else is doing, but you're supposed to show them honor and respect as you would the Lord. Okay, well, I may need to preach this again next week. Why would we do that? So that the name of God, you see, it's about testimony. It's about the testimony of God. You're the living testimony of God at that place. So if the name of God and the teaching, the word about Him, about the Lord, may not be brought into disrepute or blasphemed. And so there's some things more important in your situation in life. There's some things more important than your situation in life, and it's how you handle yourself while you're there. We, whatever situation you find yourself in, even if it's in a worst case scenario, you need to handle yourself in such a way, thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, honor and respect to those who are over you, you handle yourself in a way that brings God honor and glory. Well, you can't do that if your view is self-view. You can do that if your view is Savior and the Lord. Because I want to tell you, your life is about Him. In a situation you find yourself in, even in a worst case scenario, you're to bring Him honor and glory. And the best way to do that is with your attitude. Praise and thanksgiving and honor and respect. And all the people said. Okay, we're to promote the gospel, not dishonor it. And we do that with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. So what do we value? If you're in a slave relationship, and there's been some marriages that are convinced a slave type relationship. Hey, you may be in a situation in your house. You may be in a situation at your job. You may be in a situation with your family. You may be in a situation with your health. But I want to tell you, don't be bitter if you're a slave. If you find yourself in a worst case scenario, don't be bitter. You may be in a situation that smells like, looks like, feels like bondage, slavery. You're misused, you're abused, you're taken advantage of. So what do? Praise ye the Lord. You remember the Hebrew brothers that we preached about? Okay, they were not in a politically God-honoring situation. The government there was not God-honoring. But they honored the Lord and they didn't compromise. They praised and thanked the Lord through it. And the Lord brought honor and glory to Himself through that, through no compromise. Same thing with Daniel. Now by the time Daniel came around, there was a king that had sympathy and compassion toward him. But I want to tell you the same thing. Government law was against him praising and worshiping God, and he did it anyway. And you know what? God honored him. No compromise. And so, but the beauty part of what you see with Daniel and the Hebrew brothers that I tried to point out is that they treated the king, even though they could have blamed him and been bitter, they treated him with respect and with honor all the way through it. Well, this is really important. You praise the Lord where you are. You love on others. You show honor and respect to authorities. This promotes the Word of God by your life. It proves that the Word of God is alive. If you respond with a bad attitude and mulligrapping and complaining and griping and you're going to protest against them, then I want to tell you, that proves that the Word of God is a lie. This is pretty serious. This is probably not going to be my most famous sermon, you know. But this is important because we have people that are in worst case scenarios, either with their health or their job or their marriage. And I want to tell you, this is God's answer for that, is that you praise the Lord through it and you have a thanksgiving attitude of heart through it and you let God be God. That's when you let God be God. Let your attitude and actions promote the Word of God and not distort the Word of God. Well, let me share an example because I think we're having a little hesitation here. Let me share an example. I was preaching in Florida. This was a pretty large church. And I was invited to the staff meeting. And the staff meeting, they had just gotten a letter from a missionary. And this is a missionary where, because of the church finances, they had had to cut off his support. Now, look at this. You're a missionary on a foreign field. You're living basically off what churches in the U.S. are sending to you. And the church sends you a letter. I'm not judging them. We've had to do the same thing before. But I want to tell you, the church sends you a letter and says, sorry, we're not able to support you this year and to help you. Missionary sends a letter. You want to hear this? This changed my life. This touched me. missionary sent a letter and said, I want to thank you for the years you've supported. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to trust God and believe God for more. Because He's my supplies. And I bless you. And I bless the saints there. Now I want to tell you, that is responding to a worst case scenario that he found in his life. And instead of being bitter, instead of being wounded, instead of being miserable, you know what he chose to do? He chose to follow the word. He practiced giving thanks in all things. He practiced rejoicing in the Lord through all things. And he practiced honoring the Lord and esteeming the Lord over his financial support. Now, there's a whole lot of Christians I know. You touch their pocketbook and, you know, you done sinned. And No. Are you listening? Okay. Let me show you why we're covering this today. It's in 1 Timothy 6:2. Let those who have believing masters not be disrespectful or scornful to them on the grounds that they're brothers in Christ. Rather, they should serve them all the better. Somebody say, all the better. I'm sharing this with you because at one time I was pastoring a church, and you know, the way we practice church leadership is we sit down in a staff meeting or in a huddle. Everybody's on equal ground. You know, it's kind of like King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table. Everybody's on equal ground, and we share, and we discuss, and we visit, and we're free to not agree, okay, and share with one another. But once we get up from the table, there's different levels of a responsibility, and there's different levels of authority. You understand? But at the night of the round table, so to speak, what happened was at one church I was pastoring is that one pastor hired another pastor that was needing a job. And he came to that workplace, and this guy that had been working there had established a great Christian testimony and was influencing people for Christ because he was faithful, he persevered. And you know what? He didn't judge, but he told the truth. Are you listening? Yeah. This other pastor on staff came to work for him, and he took advantage of knowing this pastor and having a staff relationship with him, and he did not respect his authority. He took advantage of the relationship that he had in Christ, and he ended up being the worst Christian example in the workplace. And the pastor that hired him said, I'm having to start all over with Jesus where I work. This guy got fired, and he had to start all over with the testimony of Christ. This is what this is talking about. Hey, look, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. But don't esteem yourself better than others. That's not the response here. Are you with me? And so he says that when they are brothers in Christ, we ought to serve them all the better. We ought to go the second and third mile if someone's above you that knows Christ to honor them. Because as you honor them, it's going to honor others. It's going to bless others if you honor them. That's the way the kingdom works. And look at the end of verse 2. It says, teach and urge these duties. That's why I'm preaching this. Because Paul told Timothy, this is an important thing for us to share. And so to teach and urge these duties. Now, you may be in a marriage that's not ideal. There's a lot of them. But I want to tell you something. You're going to accomplish a whole lot more by blessing those in that marriage relationship that you're in there with. You're going to accomplish a whole lot more by blessing them and having an attitude of thanksgiving and a practice of honor with them than you ever would trying to be the mean Joe Green and trying to change them. Well, I nearly got knocked down with that thunderous amen. But that's true. That's what this is done. Hey, if you find yourself in a worst case scenario in your health, you're going to accomplish and receive a whole lot more from the Lord with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, bringing your soul and your mind, renewing your mind with the Word of God, coming to the place of giving praise and thanksgiving while you're in the pit is going to be the best way out of the pit. Wow. All right. Well, it's time for me to wrap up. Now, I'm going to end this with something. Be careful not to say what I'm not saying. I don't support slavery. I don't support abuse or misuse in any form or fashion. Okay? Is that clear? Paul lived in a day where slavery was the rule of the day. How did he deal with it? Well, we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to use our influence to honor God. So yes and yes, we're to do that. But Paul was telling people, if you find yourself in one of these worst case scenarios, you can still praise God. You can still give thanks. You can still glorify God. And you can receive peace in the process while you're believing God for the rescue. Pray for those over you. Serve them as unto the Lord. If you have a believing master, serve them with double honor. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be just, I need about a couple minutes. And I'm going to say this, and this is, I'll probably get more response from this off podcast. And maybe some here. So, it's probably been a year and a half since I've said anything political. But let me say this. Paul lived during a time where the political situation was anti-God. Daniel and the Hebrew children lived in a time where the political situation, the government situation, was anti-God. And so it's important in the situation that we're in that we practice giving thanks and we practice praising the Lord. I want to tell you, there's a lot of bad mouthing about our country. And I understand some groups are protesting everything. Let me just share with you real quick. I see no scriptural reference for believers protesting. It's not there. Whenever you see groups protesting, it was anti-God people protesting against men or the things of God. Okay, Paul, I mean, the supreme commander of the day he lived thought he was God. He presented himself as being God. And so it was not a friendly situation where he was, but he practiced thanksgiving and praise, and he specifically taught to pray for those in civil authority. So you heard thanksgiving and praise. Now one of the things that's bothering me about our nation is that we have believers that are lowering themselves to practice the same thing that anti-God people do. And I just want to say, there's no scriptural evidence for that. I want to tell you what you're to do. You're to praise and you're to give thanks and you're to vote. You know what's the loudest voice? It's when you go down there and put that check by the box. That's the loudest voice. I don't think they're listening to the protest. I don't think they're out there taking testimonies and names. All right? Hey, one thing settles it for me. One thing settles it. And you know what it is? It's the gift of life. The sanctity of life. I want to tell you, little Angelina is back there today. One of the most beautiful babies you'll ever see. And I want to tell you, we're going to dedicate her to the Lord next week. It'll be a very precious time. Now, I want to tell you, her parents are not in the most ideal situation. You know what? I know that. The Lord knows that. You know that. You know what? Our part's to love them. Lena, I love you. Pat, I love you. Amen. We're praying and promoting you toward the things of God. Amen. That's our job, is to love them. We're going to take little Angelina next week. And we're going to minister and pray and dedicate her to the Lord. But I want to tell you, if there's anyone here that doubts whether a child is a gift of life from the Lord, you need to go back there and pay these parents $5 and hold her for a few minutes. Because I want to tell you, in the womb, the Bible talks about that He's forming them. And that He already has destiny and purpose for them. Now I want to tell you, I love Tony Patterson. But I want to tell you, when he was in the womb and it was just his heartbeat beating after just a few days. I want to tell you, that was the real Tony Patterson that we know. And I'm so glad he was born, aren't you? Well, I want to tell you, God has purpose and destiny for every single little one. And from what I can see at this point, I believe when revival hits, it'll change. And we're praying for revival. At this point, there's only one party that stands for the gift of life. Well, I want to tell you, that settles it for me. I don't know all the stuff and all the issues. I don't have to know. This issue of life is enough for me. And so, I want to tell you, vote the Bible. Okay? I do not promote any particular person, because there's some on both sides that you wouldn't want in your house. There's some on both sides that you would enjoy in your house. Quit voting personalities and vote the Bible. Let me tell you something, believer. Vote the Bible. And there's one issue that's prominent to me. All it takes is the issue of life. Come on, go hug on Angelina today.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, that's where it is. Now, let me tell you what's missing with believers. Because I'm telling you, I'm speaking to believers. You know what's missing with believers? I hear believers gripe and complain about the system. Gripe and complain about the politics. I don't like to hear it. Hey, I'm telling you pastors that are listening, because there's pastors that listen to this. I compare politics to going to the bathroom. It's dirty, nasty, stinks. I don't want to do it, but it's necessary to remove toxins. And so go vote, friend, to remove toxins. It's okay to vote the Bible. It's okay to vote for morality. But let me tell you something. The best part of it is when it's all over. So go in, make that one check by that one box is what I do, and I get myself out of there and go on with life. But this is what's missing. You want to hear what's missing? Christians are doing just like people of the world, complaining, griping, fussing, arguing, protesting this, doing this, loud. No. Let me tell you something. Christians ought to be, you know what we don't hear? We don't hear Christians thanking God for our nation. You don't hear Christians thanking God for how good it is. You know what I'd like to do? Take plane loads of them and send them to a third world country for a couple of weeks and then let them come back. Because you know what you'd find out? This is one of the best countries in the world. And we have so much to be thankful for. And that's what we need to be hearing. Thanksgiving and praise for what light we do have. And if people that don't know God hear us thanking and praising God for what we do have, you know what? They'll listen. You go after them to argue and fuss and cuss. They're not going to listen to that. You know what they need to hear? Some praise and thanksgiving for how good it is. And Pastor James, would you pass this message along? They're not doing that. That needs to be the prominent voice of believers, is to praise and thank God. Well, I've taken more than 2 minutes. So, I'm done. But why don't you bow your heads for just a second, and let's take time that even if you find yourself in a worst case scenario, it's temporary. You know what? How you responding to the Lord in this has testimony on whether God is real or not. And so let's honor the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Let's honor those, even if they're mean. Let's honor those who are in authority above us, because this honors the Lord when you honor people in authority. And there's things more important than your human happiness. And honoring God and glorifying God and being thankful with the lifestyle is so important, because it touches so many people. So let me pray right now for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your great peace that you give and not the world gives, that is so accessible to us. Thank you for your joy that overflows our heart. Thank you for your love that sets us free to even love the unlovely. And thank you, Lord, that even in the pit, we can praise you. We can say thank you. We can praise you while believing for rescue. But Lord, we want to respond to you in a way that promotes the Word of God. And I just bless this church. I bless everybody that's in that worst case scenario, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. We release the hope of the Lord in them to rise up. And we declare that the hope of the Lord will show you a picture of what He's doing and what He's going to do. And we bless you with the touch of His love and joy and peace that's beyond human understanding. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself real to us. And all the people said, amen and amen.